Yo, what is up, everybody? Thank you for joining me this week on episode number 16 of Christian Universe Podcast. On this episode, I will be talking about a man after God's own heart. Now, if you listened to last week's episode, you would have found out about David, and I entitled that one David's Gang. David's Gang about his right-hand men, the strongest people in David's inner circle when it comes to soldiers. So this week in the Bible, in 1 Samuel 13 verse 14, it talks about God looking for a man after his own heart. Okay? So that is what we're going to cover today. But before we get started, of course, let's invite the Holy Spirit into our lives so that He may be the one to guide my tongue so that you guys would be able to understand what I'm trying to tell you all. All right? So, Heavenly Gracious Father, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for everything that you've done for us, dear God. Thank you for your blessings and your protection, dear God, and allow us to learn something new about you, dear God, and learn about King David, dear God. And also, we always hear that he was a man after your own heart, but I've never actually looked into your word to find out why you named him that, dear God. Protect us and guide us once again. In your name, I do pray. Amen. All right, so before I could get into David being called a man of God's own heart, and I can say that because 1 Samuel is about the time of Samuel. Obviously, don't think it was written by Samuel. Hold on, let me check and make sure. It was written probably by a court official or a scribe, but we are not 100% sure as to who the author is. But I can say confidently that this description is about King David, because let me make sure that I'm telling you guys the right information here. Prior to this, we are at this time, Saul is on a manhunt for the next king because he has just rebuked Saul, and so that leads me into the next part about what circumstances happened before God made this proclamation about looking for a man with a man after his own heart. And again, that could be found in 1 Samuel 13 verse 4. So a few things happened. Saul, he made several problems. There were several problems with him. When Saul and his army were under attack and afraid, instead of waiting for Samuel to arrive and make a burnt offering to God, Sam took matters into his own hands and made the offering himself. Now, as I said, there were several problems with him. But I'm going to focus more on this, because there were several problems with what he did in making the sacrifice himself and taking it into his own hands. Number one, he had received express command to wait 7 days, and that had been confirmed by appointed signs. So he was told to wait 7 days. Number two, he knew the sake of his kingdom depended on him waiting. Number three is that he distrusted God. He probably didn't mean to do it on purpose, purposely go against God's command, but because of the pressure he was under, he chose to distrust God and was impatient. Number four, when called out for this obedience, he made excuses rather than taking responsibility for his actions. So, the reason that Saul is being replaced, as I stated earlier when I said that at that time of 1 Samuel verses 13 and 14, Samuel was rebuking Saul. The reason for that was because of his disobedience, his arrogance, his faith, and his refusal to trust in God. Saul was rejected by God as king, and later on, David was chosen to be the next king. So, now the question is not per se why David was called a man after God's heart, because the question really should be, how was David different to Saul? Because God doesn't make mistakes. So that means that there must have been something that God saw in Saul that was good. But like every human, we are all corrupt. So what made David different from Saul? First and foremost, David was an only child who had not accomplished anything king-worthy at the time. Samuel prophesied about a man after God's own heart becoming the king. But God knew David's heart and what he could do long before. David had any idea of what his future held. So God knew David's heart and what he could do long before he had any idea. If you look at 1 John 3 verse 18, it is said that actions speak louder than words. David was a musician and wrote 73 of the 150 Psalms in the Bible, it is by looking at the way he lived that we see his heart. So, how was David different? And this is not really one of them, but he hadn't done anything as of yet to show that he was worthy of being king. I know that all that I just said is a lot more, but he hadn't done anything king-worthy. Saul, he did such king-worthy things to earn their trust. So, the next one is, the first one is David's faith in God. That's how he was different from Saul. His faith in God. Now, David's faith didn't begin after he was anointed. Well, David's faith didn't just begin as soon as he was given kingship. It began early. From the beginning, it was exceptional. And you could see that in 1 Samuel 17 verses 36 and 37. And this is David saying to Saul, let's start at 34 instead to 37, and I'll read the whole thing. It says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. The uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The God who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So, at this time, obviously, David's faith, like I said, is exceptional from the beginning. Because, I don't know about you, but for me, if I see a lion, I'm running the opposite way. The only way I'm staying to watch a lion roaring and making all this noise and prancing at me is if he's in a zoo cage. And even then, I'm sorry. Even then, you know what I'm observing? COVID-19 laws. 6 feet away from that cage. Because I feel threatened. And I would hate for anything to happen to me. I would hate for me to die with such stupidity. But that's not the only one. And it touched on it just now. It said one of David's first and most well-known accomplishments was his defeat of the Philistine giant. One, it took courage because he had nothing but a sword and some rocks, but Goliath had a sword. And he was about 6 times David's height. But before throwing the stone, the David that would take the giant down, David declared in 1 Samuel 17 verse 47 that this entire assembly may know that God does not save by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will hand you over to us. So David didn't just go in there and fight. No, he gave credit to God for defeating Goliath before the giant was even hit by the stone. It was through his faith that God empowered him to become successful. This giant-killing faith remained with David his entire life. So that is the first thing that made David different to Saul. Number two, David's trust in God. Even though Saul was a constant threat to his own life, David had respect for him as king and shared his life on more than one occasion. When David had an opportunity, I'm sorry guys, at the time I'm recording this, it's kind of late, but God is good. All right. When David had the opportunity to kill Saul in a cave, he chose not to. And if you don't know that story, it's when David was running because Saul was trying to kill him, Saul went into a cave that David just happened to be hiding out with a few of his friends, if you can say, and Saul just happened to walk in to pee, and one of his people came to tell him that Saul was there, and while they were there, David just cut off a piece of his cloth just to show him how close he was to ending his life, but he chose not to. And He said, may the Lord judge between me and you, and may the Lord take vengeance on you for me. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb said, out of the wicked comes wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. And this, and that can be found in 1 Samuel 24, verses 12 to 13. David showed complete trust in God. I mean, he could have killed the king, but he said, it's out of my hands. I will not lay a finger on you. I will not lay my hand on you or against you, because God will take vengeance on you for me. And that kind of ties into the one that 1 Samuel 17 verses 47, and I'm focusing on the one that says the battle is the Lord's. Some of us as Christians, we like to say the battle is the Lord's, it's not ours, right? So that right there shows that he trusts God to create, to avenge him. All right. Number four, if you counted that first one that I was talking about, that he had no kingly, he had no honorable status. He didn't do anything to earn kingship as in that time. In that time, if you were a great hunter or a great warrior, you were considered great to be a king. But at that time, David had done nothing to prove that he was king. But right now we're going to talk about number three or four. It depends on how you look at it. We're going to talk about David's love. So in all his dealings with Saul, David showed agape type love towards the man who was determined to be his enemy. And agape and it's interesting because God had chosen, it is interesting that David, chosen by God and as described as a man of God's own heart, did this centuries before, centuries before the Sermon on the Mount. Because in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 verse 44, Jesus has commanded us to love our enemies and pray for those that persecute us. So if we are to pray for those that hurt us, doesn't that mean that, and if we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, and that means that no one should ever actually get us upset. And that is because it's all in God's hand. And like I was saying, agape means unconditional love. So David had an unconditional love for Saul. No matter how what he did, David still loved Saul. Number four or five is David's humility. All right. At one point in time, David was challenged to go and kill 100 Philistines and bring their heads to Saul. David ended up encountering 200 Philistines. And him and his crew ended up killing all of them, and they brought back the 200 heads. After such a battle, even after such a battle, after experiencing remarkable success in such a battle, David remained humble. And when Saul offered his daughter Micah to David as a wife, he responded to Saul in saying, "Is it trivial to your sight to become the king's son-in-law, since I am only a poor man and insignificant?" But not much later in his life, he was crowned king and conquered all his enemies. The prophet Nathan told him of God's promise to extend his dynasty forever. And David prayed and said in 2 Samuel 7 verse 18, "Who am I, Lord God, and who are the members of my household that you have brought me this far?" I'm sorry again. At this point, David had known immense success at everything he put his hand to. Yet, at this point, he never took the credit or considered himself worthy of greatness. And that's obviously demonstrated when Nathan tells him that he will extend his dynasty forever, and when he's been crowned king and conquered his enemies, when he goes to God and says, "Who am I? Who am I?" And then he says, "Whose members of the household?" And then he gives the glory to God, as it said, he gave all the glory to God. He said, "That you have brought me this far." Alright. Number 5 or 6, depending on where you're looking at it from. Number 5 is about David's integrity. David admitted when he was wrong and took responsibility for his mistakes, which was a sign of his deep integrity. We see this when Saul is pursuing him, and David lies in Achimech the priest to get food. David lies to Achimech the priest to get food for his men, as well as the sword of Goliath. David's lie eventually led up to the death of 85 priests, as well as the entire town of Nob, by the command of Saul. To get that story, you can look at 1 Samuel 22:9-19. When David learned of this, he admits it's his fault and takes in the sole survivor of the priesthood settlement. This was one of the many times David took responsibility for his mistakes and did what was right with his power. Number 6, David's ability to forgive. Quite a bit later in his life, in David's life, David's integrity took a drastic downfall, and he slept with Bathsheba. And then after he slept with Bathsheba, he had her husband murdered. David then was distressed, as Nathan, the prophet at this time, had just revealed the terrible thing that he had done. But instead of making excuses, David simply just said, "I have sinned against the Lord." through David, though David made a horrible decision, he took responsibility and had remorse for his actions. He earnestly sought forgiveness. He penned Psalms 51, a Corinth sinner's prayer for pardon. After his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, James brokenheartedly confesses his sin and asks God for forgiveness and restoration. So this is not really talking about David being a forgiving person. This is more talking about the fact that he is willing to see where he messed up, as it said. Instead of making excuses, David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." So it's talking about God's forgiveness, but it's talking more about the fact that he is willing to see his error and go to God for forgiveness. And our last and final point, 7 or 8, depending on how you're counting. For those of you that skipped to this part or weren't listening until this part, I'm sorry about the yawns and stuff. But the first, for those of them that are on 8, don't worry. It's not anything crazy. It's just that the first point that I wanted to bring out was that David was not a hunter, or he wasn't a soldier, or anything like that that really uplifted him to be the next king. And that's what I was talking about. He did nothing king-like that was considered king-like at that time, but he was still chosen by God, of course, to be the king. Now for the last one, David worships God different. He actually worships God. Even though he made a poor choice, which led to much heartache for many years to come, David never stopped worshiping God. It is believed that Psalms 32 was also written by David at the same time as Psalms 51. In it, David wrote, Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you. I'm sorry for hitting the mic. Who are upright in your heart. He realized that his righteousness did not come from his actions, but his love for all. And submission for God. So, here is what we are to take away from this. Not to be David, not to be like David, because as people of God, we are not striving to be like the prophets. We're striving to be like God. We are trying to build a Christ-like character. So, for me, I count to 8. The first one that I talked about, that David originally only he was chosen even though he had completed or accomplished nothing that would make him king worthy at the time that Samuel prophesied about the next king. Number 2 that's different about him from Saul is his faith. Number three is his trust. Number four is his love. Number five, his humility. Number six, his integrity. Number seven, his forgiveness. Number eight, the worship he had in God. He never stopped worshiping. And although David was a man of many mistakes, he was also a man of great triumph. So, today, I ask that you do not look upon the mistakes that you have made, but rejoice because God has delivered you from those mistakes. Rejoice because you are no longer bound to those mistakes. Rejoice because God is fighting that battle for you. I appreciate y'all tuning in to this week, and I hope y'all go check out last week or the week before. Hope you guys just go check out all the episodes if you're new here. Allow us to have a great night tonight, dear. Allow us to have a great rest of our day for me and night, dear God. Help us to be more like David, dear God. Although we make our mistakes, help it not to control us, to help to make us want to get away from you, but instead to draw us closer to you. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. In your holy name, I do pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.